This episode of HPC Wire Soundbite is sponsored by AMD, a semiconductor design innovator leading the next era of vivid digital experiences with its groundbreaking AMD accelerated processing units. AMD's graphics and computing technologies power a variety of devices, including PCs, game consoles, and supercomputers in the world's largest and most prestigious national labs, research institutions, and private enterprises. For more information, visit www.amd.com/HPC.
This is HPC Wire Soundbite, your weekly source of commentary and insight on the HPC stories shaping the industry. With Michael Feldman, editor of HPC Wire, and Addison Snell, CEO of Intersect 360 Research. And now, here are your hosts, Michael Feldman and Addison Snell.
Cray shakes up supercomputing biz.
And a look ahead to SC12.
Good morning for HPC Wire Soundbite for November 9th, 2012, available every Friday on iTunes and Stitcher. I'm Michael Feldman, editor of HPC Wire, and I'm joined once again by Addison Snell of Intersect 360 Research. Hey, good morning, Addison.
Good morning, Michael. You ready to go?
Well, gosh, not quite, but...
You got a whole other workday left before SE12 starts, right?
Yeah, I'm glad there's only one left because the news has been coming fast and furious, and when it rains, it pours, and it poured today, didn't it?
Well, yeah, this was some big news we woke up to from Cray.
Cray bought Appro.
Holy crap, bro.
I mean, that was obviously not expected. I've been talking to both of the companies. You've been talking to both of them over the past month. They've done a lot of news releases and work, and all of a sudden, they're one company now.
Yeah, and so they're pitching this as a merger in the supercomputing space. The Cray can now address 80% of the supercomputing sector of the market by bringing the Appro clusters into a separate business unit under Cray.
Right. They paid $25 million for it, just a cash deal with a little of the cash on the Appro side.
Right.
And they're going to bring it together. They're going to be a separate division under Cray, sort of the cluster solutions business now led by Daniel Kim,
who'd been the CEO of Appro, will be the general manager of that division, and they're saying they're preserving the vast majority of the employees from Appro will stay with Cray.
Right. So it sounds like they're basically going to keep it intact, but just sort of add this piece to Cray that they've really never had before. They've never had like a traditional cluster solution like this.
And clusters, the blade-based, large, highly scalable blade-based solutions.
Right. The closest they got to this was, you know, back when they started doing these small sort of workstation and desktop supercomputing systems. They were doing sort of more traditional interconnect and CPU types.
Well, those were even that really the same thing, because those were targeted at the entry level and mid-range. You're talking about the CX line, the CX1,
right,
the CX100, the CX1000. And Appro, I don't think of as an entry level mid range.
No. Definitely not in the market, but I'm saying as far as the architecture goes, that was sort of their commodity solution that they, right, like you said, was targeting very kind of the low end. But now they've got this much larger division targeting the much higher end and maybe the higher middle.
If we go into our surveys and look at, you know, average core count or average node count per vendor, Appro and Cray have the two highest averages in systems delivered, right? They both really arc to that high end.
Right. And now that'll just change the landscape quite a bit. I mean, in a sense, they've sort of got what IBM has in this space. They've got their sort of high-end capability systems, you know, in their XE and XC line now. And now they've got sort of these cluster things, sort of the what might have been sort of the iDataplex of for IBM. They've covered that base now.
Well, you mean in terms of having a breadth of solutions for the very high end. Yeah, IBM obviously is a lot broader than just the high end. So I'd hesitate to say they've got everything IBM has. But I take your point in terms of just the choice of architectures on the supercomputing side.
Right.
And, well, speaking of architectures on the supercomputing side, so what we should do is take the Cray Appro news, and we're actually going to do a special podcast, a separate podcast, as an interview with Pete Ungaro later today, so our listeners can listen for that as a separate episode that will be posted shortly. But that wasn't the only Cray news. Looking at their architectures, they also introduced this week publicly the Cray Cascade systems.
Right. This is something they've been working on, well, I guess now it's nearly 10 years. I mean, the DARPA program that sort of funded some of that started, I think, in 2003.
It's the HPCS program.
Right. And, of course, Cray sunk a lot of money into that, even more money than DARPA did. But now this has come to fruition. They've got Cray Cascade. Their first product is basically an Intel-only version. It's the XC30. It's going to house Sandy Bridge and then eventually the Ivy Bridge CPUs. And that's what they released. They talked about this week. Actually, they've been shipping them for a little bit now, and they're going to be generally available at the 1st of January. But yeah, they're a little early actually on this Cascade thing.
Right. So this is the Cray XC products use their Dragonfly topology as the based on the Aries interconnect. So
right.
That'll complement their XE line and their XK line, which are based on their Gemini interconnect and are a 3D Taurus topology. Those are the AMD Opteron-based systems. Now, you mentioned Cray XC as you said, an Intel only. It's Intel for the core processors, but they also have the Xeon Phi accelerators as well as the option for the NVIDIA accelerators, the GPUs.
Right, those will be future systems. The XC30 is just Intel-only CPUs when they make the blades for the Xeon Phi coprocessor and the blades for the NVIDIA Tesla GPUs. Those will be separate products under the XC line. But what they have this week is only the Intel stuff. But yeah, this is the whole idea behind Cascade was to be heterogeneous. So they have an infrastructure now where with the Aries interconnect, they can stick essentially any type of processor in there. So they could stick the Opteron processors there in the future, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. Anything basically that fits into an Aries interconnect, which is based upon PCIe, actually Gen 3 in this case. So that's why the Intel CPUs were such a good fit at this point, because they're up to PCIe 3 already. But any processor that fits into that will go very well with this architecture. So we just saw the first product coming out, but it's the end of sort of a long road for R&D that they've had with this system, and now all of a sudden it's out in the wild.
Right. Now, with the XC30, of course, it came from the HPCS program, which is all about new productivity tools around high-performance computing. And plus, Cray's been transitioning to where they're putting a lot more emphasis on software as their future differentiation. So you got to look at, they've got the Cray Linux environment with the XC30 and that evolution. Plus, they've been still continuing to enhance this Chapel programming language,
right,
that came out of the HPCS program. They're saying they're getting downloads of that. I don't know that it's going to replace Fortran anytime soon, but
yeah,
it's all part of the ecosystem here for the XC30.
Right. That's now, I guess, a supported product under this. I mean, Chapel, they've been working on that. It's open source. You can pick it up, but if you want the version that's going to work on the Cascade hardware, you're going to get the Cray version and the support. But yeah, I mean, they're sort of high on it. People are definitely interested, but I'm guessing that's mostly on the academic side. It's really hard to get a new language accepted in this space, or any space for that matter, very quickly. So we'll see how that goes, but it's certainly an interesting addition to this product line. And like you said, it's aimed at productivity. There haven't been very many high productivity language environments for HPC, and that's always been a sore point. And so that was certainly part of DARPA's idea and Cray's too, for that matter.
Right. Now, we should say that with the new Aries interconnect, they're advertising a 20x increase in global bandwidth over their previous Gemini interconnect, and that gets them up to 120 million gets and puts per second. It's not a shared memory image, but you
right,
can do the remote memory gets and puts. Bringing a lot of bandwidth to the new generation.
Right, right, and that folds into their Dragonfly technology too.
It's a new topology.
Right.
Yeah, it's and there was a technical name for this topology that wasn't quite as catchy as Dragonfly, which was they named it because of the pattern, the double pattern of wings on each side.
Right, I think it was called some variant of a flattened butterfly, but yeah.
Flattened butterfly, exactly.
All the insects aside, I mean, I think they picked this. I mean, they had the 3D Taurus basically on their previous two systems, C-Star and Gemini. That's the way they had the topology going there. And this just lets them scale out a little bit more. actually a lot more than those, and keeping the latency constant as those systems get bigger. So that's the move they made here.
Yeah, now they're saying this also delivers on their adaptive supercomputing vision. I think they've gotten more specific or possibly less broad in terms of what they mean by adaptive supercomputing over the last 5 years. But this is the roadmap that they've been working toward going back to early on in the HPCS program. Now, I've been very vocally critical of what HPCS eventually delivered versus the original stated goals of that program. I think that did a lot of morphing as well. But nevertheless, the Cray Cascade is a nice system in its own right.
Yeah, and I think it's going to do very well. It's going to be the flagship supercomputing line. I think they'll overlap XE and XK lines for a while, maybe a year or so. But this is going to be the main line going forward, and I expect it to do quite well.
All right, well, we'll come back later today with an interview with Pete Ungaro to get a little more detail, not just on Cascade, but specifically on the Cray-APRO deal that was announced just this morning. Why don't we take a quick break? We'll come back. We'll do one other quick piece of news from AMD, and then we'll do our SC12 preview.
Today's HPC environments require exceptional performance, scalability, and efficiency. AMD Opteron processors deliver just that, with a remarkable price-performance advantage recognized around the world. AMD's continued advancements in multi-core x86 server processor architecture have helped unearth new applications for computational science with supercomputers that enable an unprecedented ability to study a range of natural phenomena. To learn more, visit www.amd.com/HPC.
Michael, coming back in on the news, one more quick piece of news we have to hit before we get to the SC12 preview is what happened with AMD this week.
Yeah, AMD on Monday, they announced their new Opteron, the 6300 Opteron that was the follow-on to basically the Interlagos that they had introduced basically a year ago. So they're on a year cadence there. So again, it wasn't huge news. It's still a 16-core Opteron. They tweaked the performance, obviously, up by, you know, X amount, but it's very much compatible with what went before it. And everybody sort of jumped on the bandwagon, all the OEMs, and they're going to support it as well, including Cray, who we just talked about, in their XE line. Now, we just talked about the Cascade system, and right now, that Opteron can't fit into that Cascade system very well because the Aries interconnect uses PCIe 3, and it's just not that feasible to use an Opteron that doesn't support that yet. So we'll expect the next version of the x86 Opterons to support that, and then Cray can make the decision whether to make a Cascade Opteron as well. But that's not a slam dunk. I mean, it may or may not happen.
A lot of other vendors did jump immediately onto the AMD Opteron. Obviously, people had their announcements all queued up.
Right, yeah. I mean, basically all the usual suspects of HPC vendors were there, and so you'll be able to get support for those Opterons very quickly as over the next year.
But yeah, definitely it'll be interesting to see whether, especially given Intel's previous purchase of the Cray hardware interconnect futures out there, whether the Cascade line eventually does incorporate these Opteron chips.
Yeah, I think it'll just basically be a market decision. If there's a market for Opteron-based supercomputing with their Aries interconnect, they'll make it. But now with Intel in there, they'll have to make that decision because, as we know, Intel CPUs owns most of this market now, so it might be the same way with the Cray supercomputing line as well. And if it'll just be a business decision at that point. But certainly technically feasible, I'm guessing, by next year, but we'll just have to wait and see.
Well, and no surprise that we're talking about these CPUs again. As we start to look ahead to supercomputing, you're going to be getting on planes headed to Salt Lake City here real soon. And I think one of the biggest things we're going to continue to be talking about is the processor wars going on in HPC.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. But, you know, I started looking at the technical program and looking at what was going on there. And to me, it looked like the biggest session set there is going to be on accelerators. I mean, obviously people are going to be talking about multi-core and many-core in certain cases for just straight CPUs, but there's a lot more of accelerator talk and talk about heterogeneous systems than there's ever been. I mean, there's always been a lot, Now even more, and I think we both know that there's going to be some big announcements coming up during that show.
And we're anticipating there might be some other, not just AMD making announcements in this space, but we'll have to wait and see when they actually come, what gets said.
But yeah, so accelerators, I think, is going to be a big part of the show coming up. It's going to get a lot of attention, and if you just like I said, if you looked at the technical program, I think there was like 47 or close to 50 sessions just on accelerators, GPUs, Xeon Phi, DSPs, FPGAs, whatever. Mostly GPUs now, but and then the programming models that go around that. So you know, OpenACC,
right.
OpenMP, CUDA, OpenCL.
If you move to an accelerated computing model, it absolutely has implications for the programming models in the future and what this is going to look like. You know, is MPI going to be adequate? Is MPI Plus going to be adequate? What's the role of the Intel tools and CUDA? This is a really important fundamental thing going on in HPC right now. And for anyone who would accuse us of being too processor-centric or flop-centric, you know, this is like the transition we saw when the industry started tipping over to clusters from SMPs. It was a big price performance move that the industry was looking at. It had vast implications for programming models where everything had to go over to MPI. It was a real community-driven thing, and it's going to be the big topic of conversation this year.
Yeah, that's exactly it. We're seeing the same sort of inflection point happening, and again, like you said, it's driving the programming models, and we're seeing that. So that's going to be a big topic.
So I'm sure we'll be talking about that. How about big data?
Big data, that actually came in second place if you look just on sort of the weight of the sessions. I can't remember exactly how many there were, but there were over 30. A lot of big data news. Obviously, we've talked about it a lot. It's becoming a big thing here. It's bringing a lot of new vendors into the space, and the vendors that have been here, it's giving them a lot more visibility outside the space. So
it's huge. Now, I will say that from a technology standpoint, I think the accelerator, the processor discussion is the most important technology conversation going on right now. But in terms of where the market is going and where money's being spent, big data is about the biggest thing we've ever seen, because this has absolutely the opportunity to unlock the potential for huge HPC growth into new sectors where it hasn't been. For all the talk that's gone around things like digital manufacturing or other vertical markets opening up, big data is really going to introduce high-performance computing technologies to enterprise customers.
Right. It's expanding in a horizontal way that hasn't happened since I can remember in a very significant way. So that's going to be another big set of topics going on.
Well,
at SC
yeah, we've
this
seen
year.
Other verticals take off, like, you know, genomics and biosciences around the Human Genome Project. There's a huge growth around that area for several years before it eventually leveled off, hit its asymptote. This is going to be like that, but bigger,
right.
You know, more so.
It's a whole application domain that has its own verticals in it that's carrying along.
Exactly. You've created an entire new application class or set of trends that's going to open up these new applications. So that's going to be huge. What else are you looking forward to on a topic standpoint?
So the third most popular topic set was on cloud. Now, we know there's still all these challenges we talk about. It doesn't have a big chunk of the market right now, but there was over 30 cloud sessions. And, you know, lately we have noticed a lot more news and even some more vendor news in the cloud space. So I think cloud's going to get a lot of attention. In fact, cloud and big data are almost kind of linked. They go together a lot. In fact, you can even link some of those to accelerators. I mean,
I disagree with that. I think cloud is a big enterprise topic and big data is a big enterprise topic. But if you try to mix the two, they don't mix that well. The big data has the same barriers in cloud that HPC has in cloud.
Well, if you'll notice some of those sessions, though, they have linked them. So if there's a lot of data-intensive stuff that's going on in the cloud. Now, I'm not sure, you know, under what circumstances those are occurring, but a lot of people are talking about them as if they're going to move forward sort of in concert. Now, I think I do sort of agree with you that that's not going to occur, you know, in any sort of systematic way. But in the sense that the enterprise sort of links those two together, I think we're going to see some of that in HPC as well.
If you're talking about private cloud, then fine. But, you know, the concept of HPC and big data in public cloud is an area that everyone's been talking about for years and still has not taken hold in the market.
Yeah, I would say that's further in the future. That's true. The private cloud, maybe, yes, but yeah, public.
I'll tell you another sneaky technology topic that might be creeping up is interconnect. So we've been sensing a lot of buzz around the interconnect space recently. Not that I'm expecting a lot of new news, but I think as people look at how they're going to put these systems together, interconnects might be a hot topic this year.
Yeah, I mean, when I looked at the session, it didn't seem like there was any more than there usually is. I mean, interconnect is always a big subject matter, but to me, we're almost sort of in a lull period in a sense. You know, FDR InfiniBand has come out. Now we're just going to wait for the next version, which is at least a year or so away. You know, we got the fabric news from Intel. I mean, a lot of people are starting to look at these interconnects to build into their processors. But I'm not sure how much news or even talks and presentations are going to come out. Certainly there's some. I'll be interested to see if there are some. That's definitely going to be a hot topic in the years ahead. So we'll see what happens at SC12.
When we do advisory with our clients, I can tell you that it's been an area that people have been interested in talking about what we think, how it's going to evolve over the next couple of years. It's come up a lot recently, and I'll be interested to see how that continues at supercomputing. By the way, one other company back on the floor map that's going to be interesting, that's going to be there in force. Do you know who I'm talking about?
No.
Oracle. Oracle's there with a fair presence, and I'm excited to have a briefing set up with them. I'm welcome back to HPC, Oracle. I can't wait to see what you do with the show.
Yeah, that will be interesting. Well, maybe some of the things we've just been talking about are bringing them back in. I mean, that, like we just said, these things are bringing vendors back in that are not necessarily associated with traditional HPC. So welcome back.
Could be. How about events? Anything in particular you're looking forward to while we're there?
Events. You mean
what's HPC Wire up to? What things are you engaged in?
Oh, of course, we're going to present the our Reader's Choice Awards, our Editor's Choice Awards there, so that'll always be fun, give those people. Then there's going to be various parties, but I'm not going to go to those because I'm working at night, so there's going to be lots of parties.
And going to the parties is working, Michael.
Yeah, well, for some of us actually have to write for a living. But you're going to have quite a few events on your own, aren't you?
Yeah, well, first of all, we throw our own party. Intersect 360 Research Reception is on our traditional Monday afternoon time. And after that, we do the press conference before the press tour, which comes before the gala opening. And then Monday night, we're one of the primary sponsors of the Bayo Bash, which is one of my favorite parties in terms of being an open community. It's an open HPC community event. Thomas Sterling described it recently as a party for the rest of us. I thought it was going to be a lot of fun, and that's at the Clark Planetarium on Monday night. So that's going to be very exciting for us. Then as we get working, of course, we're involved in a couple of panel discussions in vendors' booths. There's one on technical computing adoption that we're doing with Intel. There's one that we're doing with adaptive computing regarding big data. So there are a lot of things that we have going at Supercomputing in addition to wanting to meet with everybody while we're there. It's going to be a fun show for us.
Yeah, I should mention I'm going to be moderating a panel Tuesday afternoon, the Intel-sponsored Workforce STEM panel. It's a short panel, but it's going to be at the Intel booth, I think, around 2 o'clock. So you can stop by and say hello if you're there.
Terrific. And information on all of our activities at Supercomputing are up on our website at intersect360.com. And if you need to schedule a meeting with us and we're not already on your calendar, then send us an email, addison@intersect360.com, and we'll do what we can to get you on the schedule.
It's going to be a busy time. It's already busy. And, the next week it's going to be full. But we're going to be back on for a couple of special podcasts during next week. Tuesday, Thursday, or Tuesday, Friday?
Not just our special podcast with Pete Angaro coming up later today on the Cray Apro News, but we'll do a podcast from Supercomputing from Salt Lake City Tuesday evening, and then another one on Friday morning before we each leave from Salt Lake City. Then we'll have a final SC12 wrap-up early the following week before we take off the rest of the week for the U.S. Thanksgiving holiday.
Wow. So we're going to be basically doing four podcasts in the next, 5 days?
You got a problem with that? People listen to us, Michael. Yeah. They need to be informed.
They do. Well, this will be a lot of fun because there's lots of cool news and lots of cool stuff obviously going on right now. So
I always have fun doing these with you, Michael.
Me too. Well, I think that's it for the day. We've got to get on with our business and get to Utah.
I will see you in Salt Lake City.
All right. See you there. Great talking to you.
Thanks, Michael.
This episode of HPC Wire Soundbite has been sponsored by AMD, an innovative technology company dedicated to collaborating with customers and technology partners to ignite the next generation of computing and graphics solutions at work, home, and play. For more information, visit www.amd.com/HPC.
You've been listening to HPC Wire Soundbite with Michael Feldman and Addison Snell. Got a question or comment for Michael or Addison? Email soundbite@hpcwire.com. HPC Wire Soundbite is available every Friday afternoon from iTunes or at hpcwire.com. HPC Wire, the leading source for global news and information covering the ecosystem of high productivity computing.